All right, well, let's take our Bibles and open up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to continue in our study in the book here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's read verses 23 down through verse 26, the end of the chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 tells us, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word and the ability to study it. We're grateful for the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. Lord, now as we spend a few moments in your word, we ask that you would bless us with understanding. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As God is speaking through the Apostle Paul here to Timothy and trying to help him and prepare him more fully for ministry, he's dealing here with the subject of witnessing to hard-hearted or hard-headed, whatever way you want to call it, individuals. We know that not everyone wants to hear it. And we also know that some people have some really unusual ideas. I'll just use the word unusual. It's a little bit more tactful than dumb or stupid. And so we'll just use unusual. But they have some really crazy ideas, and they claim that the Word of God teaches things that it doesn't. Well, how do you deal with people like that? That can be unruly and can be unkind in that time. And so there's going to be four things here in these verses that God tells us or advises us on dealing with these people, because our goal is always to see them come to Christ at some point in their life. No matter how rudely they treat us or how badly they treat us, we don't want them spending any time in hell. And the only way is if they receive Christ. And if we don't share the gospel with them, or if we don't have the right attitude or the right demeanor around them, we can turn them off from Christ forever, and we don't want to do that. So here's four tips on witnessing to the hard-hearted. First of all, there's certain topics we need to avoid. Avoid certain topics. Verse 23, he brings that out very clearly when he says, "But foolish and unlearned topics, foolish and unlearned questions, avoid." And the reason we avoid these is because they gender strife or arguments, and you can't agree with everything. I remember knocking on the door of one individual, and I was with Randy Taylor Jr., and this was one I let him deal with. It was his turn to talk, and the person at the door had one of the most unusual ideas about Jesus that you have ever heard, and I just stepped back, because he started to look at me, and I just went stepping back, telling him, "You got this one, whatever you want to say with this." But you don't want to have an argument at someone's door. Or if it's someone you work with, you don't want to have an argument in the workplace. Or if it's someone that's a family member, you don't want to have an argument at a family gathering over these issues. And so God just says, leave them alone. Just drop them. Don't pick up the subject. If they bring it up, just change the subject as tactfully as possible. Now, he says foolish questions and also unlearned questions. These are the things we're supposed to avoid. A foolish question is one that doesn't make any logical sense, or a question or a statement that doesn't make any scriptural sense. If you're trying to witness to a Mormon friend, their religion or their teachings doesn't make either logical sense, nor does it make scriptural sense. And we need to be careful about that. We need to learn when to approach these subjects and when to avoid these subjects. Because if they're going to know the truth, they've got to know that they're worshiping God in a system full of error, and that they're going to wind up in hell. And they need to know these things. There's a lot of foolish things that our Catholic friends do as well. What about the rosary? I mean, just saying what they say as they move the beads on the string. I mean, what good is that going to do anybody? And so they have superstitious beliefs. And these are foolish questions. They make no logical or scriptural sense. And God says, you know, don't spend time on these. We can spend a lot of time arguing and debating over false doctrine that they hold to, but it'd be a lot better just simply presenting the truth and then let them sort it out after they get saved. And so foolish questions, unlearned questions, are just things that they don't understand because they lack the Holy Spirit of God who reveals these things to us. And so there's going to be a lot of scriptural error in their belief system. You just have to expect that if they're lost. And so these are topics we want to avoid. And we need the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us so that we know which topics to avoid and which topics to address. Because the last thing we want is to strive. These questions gender strife, according to verse 23. And so that's our first tip for witnessing to the hard-hearted. Just pray and ask God and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit to know to avoid certain topics. Verse 24 gives us our second tip, and it's just simply argue with no man. Argue with no man. He says, the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. It's talking about our attitude. It's talking about our nature. Talking about the way that we present ourselves to other people. And so this is important because this will make or break that person's salvation in so many cases. Because if we treat them wrong, then they're going to have a sour taste for Christianity in their mouth forever. And they won't listen to a single soul winner after that. And so what they say, and so since I got saved, this is what I've heard. Always leave the door open. When I first got saved, that's what my pastor said. Then I went to Bible college, and that's what all the professors in the Bible college said. And so it's just good advice. You're not going to win everyone to Christ. And certainly if you argue, it's not going to happen. And if you have a poor attitude towards them, they're not going to get saved. And so this is important. Be gentle. This means to have a good nature, to be easy to get along with. No one should make people, that's a Christian, no one should make people walk on eggshells. If your attitude and your nature is that way, then you need to just allow the Holy Spirit to have control. What is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Gentleness. Gentleness. And so we need to be gentle, good-natured, easy to get along with. We can laugh with people and laugh at ourselves. And not get offended like so many people do so easily. I've seen it so often when I was in the workplace where someone didn't have ill intention, a lost person, when they address a saved person, but that saved person takes it wrong and doesn't handle it well and ruins their testimony. And so we've got to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we can be gentle to all men and in all situations. He says not just be gentle, but apt to teach, seizing every opportunity that God brings in our pathway to share the gospel or to reveal sin or scriptural truth. That should always be our nature. But that requires that we know the truth. And that's where we need to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And so, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we must do. And if we don't do that, if we don't know the truth, there's no way we can be apt to teach. Some people don't feel like they can be teachers, and for some people to stand in front of a group of people and to teach, it's very, very difficult and extremely hard. But this isn't talking about that kind of a situation. This is talking about the kind of a situation where you have your kids at home and just teaching all the time. And sharing the truth and how to live and how to have character and how to glorify God with their lives. But that's the way we're supposed to be with those hard-hearted, hard-headed people that we deal with. Whether we're knocking on their door and they're coming to the door, we need to be apt to teach with the opportunities they afford us. If it's someone we work with, you can't always be preaching the gospel at them. If you even try and do it every once in a while, they're going to think you're preaching at them, that you're a preacher. And so We need to do that. We need to teach the truth at every opportunity. That's our requirement. That's our obligation. That's our responsibility. It doesn't say that this is a suggestion, but God is commanding us to have that mindset, to always be ready to teach and share the gospel. Okay, and so we're to be gentle, we're to be apt to teach, but we're also to be patient, to be patient. Now, this is interesting. Anyone who has kids has learned patience because little kids, when they're hungry, they don't want to wait, and they don't always get hungry at a convenient time for us. And so you learn to have patience, but this isn't talking so much about that kind of a patience. This is talking about enduring harsh treatment. When that person that you're talking to doesn't respond favorably, when they respond very poorly, and they call you names, and they do things intentionally trying to hurt you, and talk behind your back in a negative way, it's easy to write people like that off. And it's easy to say negative things about them behind their back and treat them the same way they're treating you. But God says don't do that. God says our nature, our character, the way that we live around them will go a long way. And when I was in the print shop in Grand Rapids, there was one fella, no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't get along with the guy. I mean, I could get along with him, but he couldn't get along with me because I was a Christian. And so I always tried to treat him nicely and didn't say bad things about him. And I had a friend that was lost. He was a Catholic fella, but we got along really well. We were both sports nuts, so we had a lot in common. But he, I remember one day he made the comment about he couldn't understand why this other fella treated me the way he did because I never treated him wrong. And that's the testimony you should have. Now, I know I made an impact on the Catholic fella's life. I don't know that he ever made a profession of faith. I know there's other guys in the shop that did. But I don't think the one fellow who I really tried to go out of my way to be kind to, I don't think he ever got saved. I don't think he was interested. But that should be our attitude. If you're going to witness to someone who's hard-hearted or hard-headed, it's going to take us all the time in our behavior, in our nature, in the way that we deal with them and other people, because they will be watching. And sometimes they intentionally are going to mistreat us just to see how we'll react, to see if we'll lose our cool, to see if we'll get upset, to see if we'll say things that we ought not say. And so all of this comes in this one idea of arguing with no man. And the way we're not going to argue is we're going to have these three characteristics in our lives. The only way we're going to have these three characteristics is to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. These things do not come naturally, but they come as we surrender to the Holy Spirit of God and yield to His control and let Him have His way with us in our treatment of other people. And so the first tip on witnessing the hard-hearted is avoid certain topics. We need the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom to know which ones to avoid. We need to learn to argue with no man. And that, again, leads to reliance on the Holy Spirit to have the kind of a nature that doesn't do that. The third tip in verse number 25 is assume they can be saved. Assume they can be saved. Verse 25 says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And so the whole tenor of that verse, what I get out of it is that this is talking about someone you would never guess could ever get saved. You'd just never expect it. My friend Joe Dow is one of those people. I thought, this guy is never going to get saved. I witnessed to him for years. We worked together for about 13, 14 years. And almost that whole time, I took every opportunity to try to share the gospel with him. And he always resisted. He had a good nature about him. He wasn't upset. He'd rather not talk about it, but he would talk about it. But then probably 20 years after the last time I'd seen him, I find out on Facebook that now he's saved. And so praise the Lord, someone I never expected. But what if I had gotten mad, or what if I had said, well, just have that attitude and go to hell and see if I care? What if I had mistreated people in the shop and Joe had seen that and had a negative taste in his mouth towards Christians? Would he have ever gotten saved? I don't know. But this is someone you would think would never have been saved, but we've got to always assume that they can be saved. And so we don't mock their deluded ideas. That's the idea behind the meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And when you talk to people, you find out they do oppose themselves. They'll say one thing with one breath and then contradict it in the next. And they think they're waxing eloquent and sharing great scriptural wisdom, and they don't realize the foolishness coming out of their mouth. But it's not our place to point out every error that they make and to laugh at them and make fun of them, not even behind their back. We're to be meek about it when we share with them because we're assuming they can be saved. And we understand that it's the work of God. We don't realize how close they are or how far they are from the faith, from acknowledging the truth, as it says at the end of the verse. They may be very close, and we just don't know it. We don't know what God's doing in their personal life. We don't know what God is doing in all areas of their life, trying to bring them to Him. And He's trying to use us as a tool in that process. And we may be planting, we may be watering, we may be sowing, or we may have the privilege of reaping. We don't know. But we don't know how close they are. That's one of the big issues with the hyper-Calvinists. I mean, who do they know who can be saved and who can't be? And so they don't want to share the gospel with a lost person just in case they're not part of the elect. And they make a profession of faith and have false hope. It just doesn't make sense. We realize that Christ died for all, that all can be saved, that blood is potential salvation for all men of all time. And so we need to assume they can be saved. But we've got to understand it's holy God's work. We can't talk a man into salvation. We can talk him into a profession, but we can't talk him into salvation. That is strictly the work of God. And so we know that God is not willing that any should perish. And so based on those scriptural facts, we understand or we assume that that person can be saved. Now, I understand the Bible says there are those that get so far and have said no too many times that God gives up on them. God talks about that in His Word, but we don't know if that person we're talking to has reached that point. And so I've only known one person in my life that I believe came to that point. And that's unfortunate because he was a good friend of mine. But we don't know where they're at. And so we need to assume they can be saved and treat them as such. And then fourthly, in verse number 26, we need to acknowledge their enslavement. Acknowledge their enslavement. Because they're going to act badly toward us so often, and they're going to say things. Now, remember, we're talking about the hard-hearted and the hard-headed that are difficult to witness to. And they're going to say and do things that just aren't very kind, things that aren't very nice, and we're going to shrug our shoulders and scratch our head and say, well, what's the use? Why should I continue to try? Why should I continue to be kind? Why should I continue to be gentle and patient and apt to teach with this individual when that's the way they're going to treat me in response? The reason we do it is because we acknowledge their enslavement. They're acting as their father, the devil, would have them act. They're doing his bidding. And he would discourage us any way he can. And if he can use that individual that's hard-hearted and hard-headed that you're trying to win to Christ, if he can use them to discourage you from ever sharing the gospel again, he'll do it. And so we acknowledge that, and it keeps us going, and it helps us realize that God is still on the throne and that God still wants to use us and that God still wants to save souls. And so we do all we can in order that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil because they're taken captive by him at his will. Boy, what a terrible thing, captive. They don't realize it. They would never admit it. But looking back in my life before I got saved, boy, I was captive. I was in chains. I thought I was exercising free will, but sin had its control on me. Couldn't go very long without doing drugs or go very long without drinking and all the other things that go along with that. But I thought I was having a good time and thought I was making up my own mind and controlling my own life. But it just doesn't work that way. Enslavement to sin, enslavement to the devil. And that's the way they are. Now, we don't point this out to them. I wouldn't advise you going up to someone who's hard-hearted and hard-headed that you want to win to Christ and say, hey, you know, you're enslaved to the devil. You know, they're usually not going to take that very well, or they will take great pride in that. But we need to just acknowledge that, understand that, that's the way they that's why they respond the way they do. And so that we can remain gentle, apt to teach, and patient with them through all the time that God has given us to influence them. And so we just keep in mind that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, even those that are hard-hearted and hard-headed. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless it now. Help us to learn from this. Father, we all encounter people that are like this. Father, help us to follow the guidelines of your word that we might see some of these come to know you as their Savior, nor that you receive the honor and the glory. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.